Did Jesus really exist?
Roman historians, a Jewish aristocrat, and a creed older than the New Testament itself. The witnesses nobody can accuse of being fans. Isn't this just one or two guys? Let's name the worry out loud, because it's a fair one. If the evidence for Jesus outside the Bible is a line from one Roman and a paragraph from one Jew, that's thin. Good news, that's not the situation. What we actually have is multiple independent streams of testimony, Roman officials, Jewish historians, rabbinic tradition, pagan satirists, and an unbroken chain of people who knew the eyewitnesses, none of whom were coordinating, most of whom were hostile. Historians call this independent attestation, and it's the strongest kind of evidence the ancient world can give. So this time, no summary. Meet each witness properly, who they were, when they wrote, what they attest, and why their word counts. Stream 1. The Romans, hostile. Tacitus, Roman senator, consul, and historian, Annals 15.44, c. AD 116. Explaining Nero's persecution, he records that Christus suffered the extreme penalty during the reign of Tiberius at the hands of one of our procurators, Pontius Pilatus, and that the movement broke out in Judea and reached Rome. Why this counts? Rome's most respected historian, with access to official records, who despised Christians, a mischievous superstition, he confirms the man, the execution, the governor, the emperor, and the timeline while insulting the faith in the same breath. Hostile witnesses don't invent helpful facts. Pliny the Younger, Roman governor of Bithynia, letters 10.96 to Emperor Trajan, c. AD 112. Reports interrogating Christians, some under threat of death, who met before dawn, saying to Christ, as to a god, and bound themselves by oath to honesty. Why this counts? A serving Roman official writing an internal government memo, not a story for anyone's benefit. It proves that within 80 years, ordinary farmers and slaves were worshiping Jesus as divine and would rather die than curse him. Suetonius, Imperial Court Biographer, Life of Claudius 25.4, c. AD 121. Records that Claudius expelled the Jews from Rome, AD 49, over disturbances at the instigation of Crestus. Why this counts? Most scholars read Crestus as a garbled reference to Christ, and honestly, some debate it. Its quiet power, Acts 18 verse 2 mentions the same expulsion in passing. Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome. Two unrelated documents, one event. That's how real history cross-checks. Stream 2, the Jewish sources, not fans either. Josephus, Jewish aristocrat, priest, and historian, Antiquities of the Jews 20.9.1 and 18.3.3, c. AD 93. Names the brother of Jesus who was called Christ, whose name was James, being executed. An earlier passage describes Jesus as a teacher who was crucified under Pilate. Why this counts? The James passage is accepted as authentic by virtually all scholars, skeptics included. The longer passage was embellished by later Christian copyists. The scholarly consensus is a genuine core with added praise. We show you that footnote on purpose. Honest examination means showing the cracks, and the evidence stands anyway. The Babylonian Talmud, Rabbinic Tradition, Sanhedrin 43a, Preserving Early Material, states that Yeshua was hanged on the eve of the Passover after being charged with sorcery and leading Israel astray. Why this counts? This is testimony from the tradition most opposed to Christian claims, and notice what it concedes. He existed, he was executed, at Passover, and his extraordinary deeds were real enough that they had to be explained as sorcery, rather than denied. Stream 3, The Mockers. Lucian of Samosata, Pagan Satirist, The Passing of Peregrinus, c. AD 165. ridicules Christians as gullible folk who worship the man who was crucified in Palestine and live by his teachings. Why this counts? Mockery is accidental testimony. Lucian isn't arguing Jesus existed. He takes it for granted, the way you don't fact-check the sky. When your enemy's jokes assume the fact was never in doubt. 6 independent, non-Christian sources. Not one of them liked him. All of them, without meaning to, confirm the record. But the Gospels don't count. They were written by fans. 2 answers, and the first is one most people have never heard. The New Testament is not one witness. It's a bundle of separate documents by different authors. Paul's letters, AD 48-64, a man who personally knew Peter, James, and John, Galatians 1:18, 2:9, Mark, built on Peter's preaching, John, writing independently, and Luke, who opens by describing his research method like a journalist, Luke 1:1-4. Historians don't treat the Bible as one source. They treat it as a small library of early sources, exactly what they wish they had for every other ancient figure. Luke 1:1-4. Luke's own methodology statement, eyewitnesses consulted, accounts compared, an orderly record written. Read it. It's the preface of a careful ancient historian. Second, these documents contain things no fan fiction would ever include. The first resurrection witnesses are women whose testimony carried little weight in that legal culture. The heroes, the apostles, are portrayed as cowards who fled, denied, and doubted. The founder dies by crucifixion, the empire's most shameful death, social poison for recruiting. Historians call this the criterion of embarrassment. People inventing a story don't invent details that hurt them. Testimony keeps them in because that's what happened. The chain of custody, from eyewitnesses to history. One more stream, the one that closes the loop. Could the story have mutated after the eyewitnesses died? Watch the chain. Clement of Rome, early church leader, 1 Clement, c. AD 95-96. Writes to Corinth about Peter and Paul's ministries and martyrdoms as recent, known events. Why this counts? A man writing within living memory of the apostles, in the city where they died, one link from the eyewitnesses. Ignatius of Antioch, bishop, en route to his own execution, 7 letters, c. AD 110. Insists Jesus was truly born, truly crucified, under Pontius Pilate, writing while being transported to Rome to die. Why this counts? Men bargaining for their lives soften their claims. Ignatius sharpened his. His letters also show the gospel facts already fixed and non-negotiable by AD 110. Polycarp, disciple of the Apostle John, letter to the Philippians, martyred c. AD 155. Taught what he received directly from John and other eyewitnesses, his own student Irenaeus records sitting at his feet hearing the accounts of the eyewitnesses of the word of life. Why this counts? A documented two-link chain. John saw Jesus, Polycarp knew John, Irenaeus knew Polycarp, wrote it down. Not centuries of whispers, 2 handshakes. And where do even the most skeptical scholars land? Bart Ehrman, an agnostic and probably the best-known critical New Testament scholar alive, wrote an entire book against the Jesus never existed theory because among trained historians, it has essentially no support. The near-universal baseline, held by believers and non-believers alike, Jesus of Nazareth lived, taught, gathered followers, and was crucified under Pontius Pilate around AD 30-33. And his followers immediately began proclaiming they had seen him alive. The question historians debate isn't whether Jesus lived and died. It's what happened next. The receipt older than the New Testament. Now the piece of evidence most Christians have never been shown, sitting quietly in 1 Corinthians 15. Paul, writing around AD 55, says, I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, and that he appeared to Peter, to the 12, and to more than 500 people at once, most of whom are still alive. Received and delivered are technical terms for passing on a fixed, memorized creed, like a formal recitation. Scholars across the spectrum, including skeptics, date this creed's origin to within roughly 2 to 5 years of the crucifixion itself, because Paul most likely received it when he visited Peter and James in Jerusalem. Galatians 1 verses 18 to 19, two men who would know. 1 Corinthians 15 verses 3 to 7. The creed itself. Read it slowly and notice the eyewitness list, including 500 at once. Galatians 1 verses 18 to 19. Paul's fact-checking trip, 15 days in Jerusalem with Peter and James the brother of Jesus. Why does the dating matter so much? Because legends need time to grow, generations, usually centuries. This creed leaves no time. It's not a story that evolved. It's a claim made immediately, in the same city where anyone could walk to the tomb, naming hundreds of living witnesses a reader could go interrogate. That's not how myths behave. That's how testimony behaves. Greek, Christos. Anointed One. Christ is not Jesus' surname. It's a title, the Greek translation of the Hebrew Messiah. Saying Jesus Christ is making a claim, Jesus is the promised King. The thing liars don't do. One more piece, and it's the human one. The men who claimed to have seen the risen Jesus did not get wealth, power, or comfort for it. They got flogging, prison, exile, and execution, and history records that they went to their deaths without a single one recanting. Be careful with this argument. State it precisely. People do die for false beliefs. Sincerely mistaken people always have. But the apostles weren't dying for something they'd been told. They were dying for something they claimed to have seen with their own eyes. People die for lies they believe. They don't die for lies they invented, when a single, "we made it up," would save their lives. So the honest fork in the road is this. Something happened in Jerusalem that turned terrified deserters into unstoppable witnesses and stamped a Jewish movement with the unshakable conviction that a crucified man was alive. You can weigh the explanations. The church has won. Skeptics have offered others. What you can't reasonably do is wave the whole thing away as a legend. The receipts are too early and the witnesses paid too much. Source: Tacitus, Annals 15.44, c. AD 116, Pliny the Younger, Letters 10.96, c. AD 112, Suetonius, Life of Claudius 25.4, c. AD 121. Source: Josephus, Antiquities of the Jews 20.9.1 and 18.3.3, c. AD 93, Babylonian Talmud, Sanhedrin 43a. Source: Lucian of Samosata, The Passing of Peregrinus, c. AD 165. Source: 1 Clement, c. AD 95-96, Ignatius of Antioch, Letters, c. AD 110, Irenaeus on Polycarp, in Eusebius, Church History 5.20. Source: Bart D. Ehrman, Did Jesus Exist? 2012, A Skeptic's Case Against the Mythicist Theory. Source: Gary Habermas and Amp, Michael Lacona, The Case for the Resurrection of Jesus, on the dating of the 1 Corinthians 15 Creed. Source: All the ancient texts above are freely readable in English translation online. Search the work and section number and read the surrounding context yourself. Examine for yourself. Read 1 Corinthians 15 in full, not just the creed, but what Paul builds on it. Then bring your questions, including the hard ones, to your pastor or study group. A faith that was born from eyewitnesses examined in public can survive your examination too.